So if you will turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we want to continue our study on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've moved now from the theology of the Spirit, who He is, what He is doing, that He is a person, and we've moved now to a whole different aspect, and that is in regards to the actual gifts of the Holy Spirit. So chapter 12, verse 1, we'll continue to just review this week by week. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And as we learned last week, that is one of the areas that the church is very ignorant in the area of spiritual gifts. So verse 4 continues to tell us there are diversities of gifts, many different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries. Each of us have a different ministry. God has placed us each in a unique location, whether it's in school or whether it's a housewife or whether it's in the working place or wherever it is that you are at, that's where God wants to use you, whatever it is that you're doing. Different ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, meaning that the way that the gift may work in you, where you are at, is going to be different than the way that the gifts work with me and where I'm at. And we shouldn't try to duplicate what we see in each other. We should allow the Lord the freedom to do what He desires, wherever it is and whatever it is that we're doing. So we discussed these things last week, but it's the same God who works all in all. And we get into the gifts, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, not for ourselves, but for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. So last week we discussed and we talked about the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is a word, a supernatural word from the Lord that is given in an instant when there's a difficulty, when there's a controversial something taking place, when there's a disagreement, and the Lord brings a word of wisdom that solves the matter, takes care of the problem. And it comes supernaturally from the Lord. And actually, all of these gifts are going to be supernatural. They're all going to be very unique, very different. And so then, tonight we move into the next one. So it says, then to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. That's the fifth gift. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And I know that all of you are waiting till we get to that night, I know. For some reason, that's the one everybody really wants to focus on, and we'll get there. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as I will. Is that what your Bible says? No, what does your Bible say? As He wills. Very good. I want to see if you guys are awake tonight. As He wills. So this is something that God possesses. They're gifts that they belong to Him, and He imparts them as we need them in the given situations that we may be involved in or the circumstances that we may need them in. They're tools to work with. And when He knows what tool you need in the given situation and the given circumstance that you're involved in, He'll give you the proper tool. These are not toys to play with, nor are they spiritual muscles to say, look at how spiritual I am. And we flex our little spiritual gifts and we flash them in front of people to say, look at how spiritual I am. No, that's not what this is about. Not at all. These are spiritual tools to work with. Always remember that. And always, always, always remember that the gifts of the Spirit, when they're being properly used, are to glorify who? Pointing towards Jesus Christ. Always glorifying God. So tonight, the word of knowledge. If you're following along in the workbook, we're in lesson 9. Chapter 9 in Living Water, if you've read ahead. If not, we'll get into that. So, the word of knowledge is, again, supernatural information. It is information that is given to us supernaturally. It's knowledge that we could not possibly have understood, not possibly could we have known it, apart from the revealing of the Holy Spirit to us. It's knowledge about something that we could not know naturally. Something that God flashes or prompts into our mind, and then we speak that out. Word of knowledge is a little bit different than the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is given to solve a problem. Word of knowledge comes to us. God gives us knowledge about a situation that when we speak forth that particular word of knowledge or that sentence or whatever that may be, we know, wow, I didn't know that before. Or somebody may say to you or say to me, how did you know? I didn't know. I don't know how I knew that. It's from the Lord, you see. It's a word of knowledge. So in the Old Testament, there are many different examples of the word of knowledge. There was one in chapter 9, Chuck talks about Elisha, that whenever Ben-Hadad, who was the king of Assyria, he would plan an attack and he would try to come down and he would want to attack Israel. And so he would decide, okay, here's where we're going to go and attack him. God would reveal it to Elisha. Elisha would reveal it to the king. They would send a troop over and they would be ready to go right at that particular moment in time. And so then when Ben-Hadad would come down there to do this battle, all of a sudden there would be the Israeli troops ready to go. So this would happen. Wherever he went, suddenly the Jews were ready. They were prepared for them. So finally, at this particular time, the Assyrian king decided, okay, well, we've got a problem. We've got a leak. Somebody's exposing, somebody's talking about what's going on within the confines of our meetings. And then it comes to find out that it was Elisha. God was giving Elisha words of knowledge, things that he could not possibly have known. He was speaking that forth to the king of Israel, and they were able to solve this particular problem. That's a word of knowledge. Some information that God had given to Elisha through that. Now, in John, let's turn to John chapter 1. Let's just take a look at 1, where we see Jesus using this gift. Even Jesus, who knows all things, but in his humanity, you have to remember that in his deity, yes, he knew all things, but there were certain things that he gave up to become a man. One of those things was his ability to know everything in his humanity. And so he depended upon words of knowledge. In John chapter 1, in verse 45, take a look. This is when he was meeting some of the disciples. Look, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Ramona?" Come out of Nazareth, same kind of deal, you know. So Philip said to him, "Well, come and see." And so Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Ah, you're a real straight shooter." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the tree, do you believe? You ain't seen nothing yet, brother. Or you will see greater things than these." That's my translation. And so here, Jesus exercising a word of knowledge, something that he did not know, God imparting it to him in his humanity, he speaks forth this word of knowledge. So word of knowledge can sometimes be used just simply as revelation. But notice what the purpose of this particular word of knowledge was. You are the Son of God. Wow. What did it do? It drew attention to Jesus, you see. And so here we see Jesus exercising this gift of the word of knowledge. Peter, we've read this story already before in Acts chapter 5 when the church had begun. You remember the whole story, the church, everybody in the whole church was just selling their stuff. And they were bringing their proceeds to Peter and the rest of the apostles. They were just laying the money down saying, "Hey, we sold this piece of property. Here it is, man. You take it all." And then suddenly Ananias and Sapphira, they do the same thing. They sell their piece of property. They keep half of it for themselves. And the rest, they bring it to the church and they say, "Here it is. Here's our, you know, share also. We're giving it all to you." And this hypocrisy that they were trying to present themselves as giving everything, although holding some of it back, but they wanted him to perceive that they were like everybody else, giving it all. And at that moment, Peter receives a word of knowledge from the Lord. "You're not giving it all. You didn't give it all. You kept some back for yourself." And so he says, he asks Ananias, he says, "Did you sell it for such and such a price?" "Yes." He says, "Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit and to God?" Bam, drops dead right on the scene. How did he know that? How did he know that Ananias was doing it? He didn't know. There was no way he could have known. God revealed it to him in that given instance. So for the work of correction, a word of knowledge came to him. And then Paul, as we see later on in Acts chapter 27, there was a time when they were on a ship, they were on their way to Rome, and during this particular time that we see this huge problem, that the ship gets into an amazing raging storm. Interesting that I believe in Acts chapter 27 is where the first mention of surfing was ever involved, because it says that they began to, you know, after the ship broke apart. But God tells Peter, he says, listen, keep everybody on board. If everybody stays on board, then no one will die. So how did he know that? God revealed it to him. And then we see that ultimately the ship does break apart. It gets close enough to the shore, and it says they began to swim to shore, and some of them were on boards. And so an amazing story. Paul's the first surfer of the Bible. And so in the church today, this amazing gift can convict and rebuke those who harbor secret sin. Now, how does that happen? Someone may be involved in something that they think they've got it hidden. And you know, truthfully, people can hide stuff from us, can't they? But God is the one that you can never hide anything from, and He knows. And so there are times when God may reveal something to someone else, and they may come walking up to you someday, or to someone, or maybe God will give this gift to you. And suddenly you walk up to somebody and you begin to just talk to them, and God just suddenly reveals something to you that they're involved in. And He may expose a sin that they thought they had kept in secret. A perfect example is the story of David, when David had this sin with Bathsheba. He thought he had it hidden. When Nathan the prophet, God reveals it to Nathan, and He tells him, David has done this, he is in sin, he has committed adultery with Bathsheba, he has killed Uriah, her husband, and I want you to go confront him. There's no way, Nathan could not have known that. And he walks up and he tells him the story and exposes it. I've seen this happen in the body of Christ. It's very healthy. But you know where I've seen it happen more often times than not is when we're doing Bible studies. I mean, just last Sunday morning, I had probably 3 or 4 people come up and say, okay, were you talking to my wife? Did she tell you what was going on? Did she tell you where, you know, what was that? I said, no, I didn't know this. I did not know. I honestly don't know this kind of stuff. But that's the word of knowledge working through the teaching of the word. Whether it be directly from the reading of the scripture or whether it be through the illustrations that are used or the stories that are told to illustrate the truths. It happens all the time. Happens to me. That suddenly God just uses somebody as they're teaching the word to just speak to my heart. And I just go, wow, I needed to hear that. And oftentimes, I mean, literally we've had, you know, Chuck talks about it in the book, and I've had it happen to us, that people think that my wife, you know, somebody may have talked to my wife and she told me, so I purposely design a message just for them. I've even had people tell me that, and this Chuck talks about that, they think that I looked right at them the whole time. And I tell them, I look all over the place. No, you made eye contact with me when you said that sentence. You knew your wife told you, and you know, my wife told you. No, that's the word of knowledge. That's God saying, you need to hear this. I'm exposing this in your life. Because God hates us to think that we can hide secret sin. Do you know that? Who do we think that we are? We can hide stuff from the creator of the universe. It's impossible. We simply cannot do that. And so here we see that this is what a word of knowledge is. A word of knowledge is God revealing something to somebody, or through the teaching of the word, He exposes it. But also it gives us understanding of specific things that may be occurring in someone's life that you could not have known. And it can be a blessing and a confirmation to move someone in a direction that God is telling them. This has happened. It's happened to me before. Where someone will, in fact, I'll just give you a brief explanation. When God had revealed to me, I had a pastor many, many years ago in a different church that we were involved in, and he asked me, he goes, have you ever considered being a pastor? And so I came home, told him, Mari, and at that time we were simply not ready for that. And so let it go for 10 years. Not a word was ever spoken, got in construction, never thought about it anymore. And then one day, out of the blue, Mari came up to me and she said, you know, at one point you were talking about being a pastor. Well, whatever happened to that idea? Because I believe that the Lord is still wanting you to do that. Out of the blue, word of knowledge comes to her, she speaks it to me, and it confirmed in my heart because I begun to consider that 10 years later. But I was thinking, nah, it's not going to happen. We're in construction. We weren't ready for it then. It's not going to happen. And then out of the blue, she speaks the same thing to me. Bang. And as you know, it never happened. And so it can be used sometimes. I mean, I've had people come up and say, hey, you know what? And I've seen this happen. You know what? You're getting ready to move, aren't you? And somebody was thinking, well, I was thinking about it, but no, you know what, you're getting ready to move to such and I've had people, God gives very explicit details when this takes place. It's not general things. He gives explicit detail. So the word of knowledge can do that, and it brings light on things that are in the dark. It brings accountability. And it happens in a natural way for specific purposes that God desires and God wills. Now, I can tell you, again, this will be supernaturally natural. There will be times when you may receive a word of knowledge that you don't even know it happens. You're just carrying on a conversation with somebody, and suddenly something comes out of your mouth in the process of the conversation that you didn't even know. And all of a sudden, boom, there it is. And this person said, how did you know that? Well, how did I know what? What you just said. Well, what did I just say? You see, it can happen in such a natural way in the process of a conversation that you don't even know that it happened. I don't know, you know, when we're going through the scriptures, I don't know, you know, suddenly to say, I feel a word of knowledge coming right now. And it's beginning here. Yes, it's moving. No, that's the spaghetti that I ate tonight, you see. So, but you're not going to just get weird. You're not going to feel weird. You're not going to speak differently. You know, as words of knowledge may come through the teaching of the word on us, I don't know. I'm not aware of this happening. But God's doing it. But then again, there may be times when he will reveal something to you, and he will give you something that you then wrestle with. Oh, that can't be true. No. That's not, no, Lord, that, you know, suddenly a thought that comes to you that just won't leave. And God is saying, I want you to go tell this person that I know that they're involved in this or this or this. And you're saying, Lord, man, no, that can't be true. There's no way. That's got to be just me. That's got to be my suspicious mind. That's got to be my, you know, my insecurities. And you'll start to wrestle with it. And then if the thought does not leave, if you just pray and say, Lord, wait a minute, that can't, is that me or is that you? You just pray. And if it continues to just keep coming back to you and it gets specific, then that's probably a word of knowledge that you need to go and speak that to the person that God has told you to do it to. And sometimes it is to reveal sin. Sometimes it is to reveal to them a direction that God may be leading them to move in. So it's not always this mask pulling. It can be used sometimes in a real neat way as God wants to give direction to people. So the word of knowledge, an amazing, amazing gift. So God gives this to us, its purpose. And, you know, some people say, well, what's the purpose of it? Well, I think that, you know, sometimes God may reveal things to you or to me that causes us to pray for people. So you begin to pray, Lord, if that is true, then I need to pray for this person. You begin to pray for them before you actually reveal it to them. But sometimes it's a really awesome confirmation. Sometimes, you know, I'm sitting here saying, Lord, are you sure you want me to move to Maui? Lord, I know that that's what my wife's desire is, but are you sure? And then one of you guys come walking up and say, Rob, I believe the Lord's told me that you're supposed to move to Maui. And we would say, praise God. See, there's a confirmation. Not that we're thinking about that, but just so you kind of know how that works. Sometimes it may be, you know, when people, listen, when you're trying to hide sin, do you know how miserable you are? Do you know how miserable we can be when we're trying, when we do something and we think we've got away from it and we try to bury it and we try to hide it? Man, we are miserable. King David, he talks about his bones ached within him, that he couldn't sleep day and night, that his tears were constantly, his pillow became the sponge for his tears. So God sometimes will reveal it to someone to expose the sin we're in, to set us free so we bring it out into the open so we can get it dealt with. And once and for all, it's over. And we begin the dealing process. So that's the word of knowledge, God revealing to us a specific word, a specific thing that we needed to know at a given moment, or that you may be given, that reveals some sort of thing that there's no way you could have known it. But then there's also the gift of faith. Now, the gift of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, why don't you turn there? Let's read what faith is, or this description of faith as is recorded right here in the pages of Scripture. Faith, in Hebrews 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So now that is out of our New King James. Now, for some of you, if you don't have the amplified version of the Bible, if you're hard of hearing, I strongly encourage that you get the amplified version. Okay. Anyhow, it is an actual version that's called the amplified, not that it's spoken louder. What it does, however, is that it takes Greek and Hebrew and it inserts some of the meanings of the text and puts them into the pages of Scripture. This is an amplified Bible. Now listen to what it says in the amplified Bible. "Now faith is the assurance." I forgot it's... Come on, you guys. "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." Now that pretty well explains it accurately. Faith. This is what faith is. This is what the writer of the book of Hebrews talks about. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's tangibly saying, even though it is not here, I believe that it will be. Because I believe that God is able to do these things. So now, within faith, there are several different kinds of faith. We'll just talk about them very briefly. Saving faith, according to Romans 12 and Hebrews 12, is that measure of faith that is given to us from the Lord, which when exercised saved us from sin and its guilt. Each of us, at some point in our life, if we have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, which I'm going to assume is probably most of us in this room, it took faith to say, "Yes, Lord, I want you to take my life." There was a measure of faith that by faith you believed that he is who he is, that he is the Savior, even though you don't see him, and you believe that he can save you from your sin. And you had this measure of faith that was given to us by God to reach out and to grab a hold of this invisible Jesus, believing that he is real. And the moment that you grabbed a hold of him, trust me, then you knew that he was real because he revealed himself to you. That is saving faith. That's different than faith that trusts in the promises of God. Now that we are Christians, we will begin to look at the different promises that God has given. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's a promise. Now, there are times when it feels like he's not there, especially after we've become Christians and, man, we're walking with God and everything is going well and everything is going good. And we wake up in the morning and the birds are chirping. And as the birds are singing, you can hear them singing songs that you know. And you just see them, and it's almost as if they come to you, and they're just singing to you. And you open up your Bible, and you begin to read your Bible, and God just woo, 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 woo. Every day, it's just something that's just radical. And then one day, you wake up, and the birds aren't there. And one day, you read the Word, and you struggle, and you're going, "I didn't get anything." And you go, "I must have done something to get God mad at me, and he's left me." And you think that. "Oh, my goodness, I've sinned, and God has left me." Wait a minute. Faith says, in spite of how I feel, his word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So by faith, I believe, God, that even though I don't feel your presence, I don't sense your presence, and the birds aren't singing to me today, I know you're real. And I know you haven't left me. And that is a critical point in the life of us Christians, is that when we come to that place where we say, Lord, by faith, I know you have not left me. Because you promised me in your word that you're here. Because he doesn't want us to put our faith in our feelings or in our senses. Not that feelings are wrong, they will come and go. But he wants us to put our faith in the word, in the facts of the word of God. He said he's going to come back for us. He's promised us eternal life. So by faith we say, Lord, I know you're going to come back for me. But if I die before you do, I know I'm going to heaven. How do you know that? By faith we believe. That's a different faith. That's faith in the promises of God. Then there is healing faith. Now this is where we start to get into the gift of faith. Healing faith, very, very different. When it's exercised, it brings healing, and usually it's connected to the gift of miracles. Now, this kind of faith is very radical, and it is not something that I believe anyone possesses all the time, as some claim to. But this is something that healing faith is what is connected to the gift of faith, since it's connected with miracles, and it usually operates within the supernatural. It requires a gift of faith. I can give you a brief example. I had a friend, and I've shared this with you guys before, but for those of you that weren't here, I had a good friend of mine that had this bad throat infection. And he called me up and he says, Rob, you know, the Lord's told me that if you will come over to my house and pray for me, that he's going to heal me of this thing. And so at that point, I had no faith whatsoever. I said, well, whatever. I'll come and pray for you if that's what you want me to do. I'll come and pray for you. So I went over to his house and, you know, walked in, and I still did not have, you know, like, you know, this faith that, yes, as soon as I begin to pray, this is going to happen. I didn't have that until the moment that I laid my hands upon him and started to pray for him. Then God told me, gave me a specific thing. You know, his name was Dale also. He said, Lord, you are going to take this away from him and you are going to heal him completely. And I had the courage, if you will, to speak those words. I had the faith to speak those words, and instantly he was healed. Now, I can honestly tell you, I have only seen in me personally this gift work only on rare, very rare. In my Christian life, I could probably count them all on my hand. Usually, when I pray for people, they get worse than, you know, before I prayed. So this is one of those deals, man, that, you know, unless you're prepared, you know, to end up in the hospital, don't ask me to pray for you, okay? But I have seen others that do operate in this area more so than at other times. However, I can tell you this. At our men's retreat, many of you, of the men that were there, you may remember that that was at the very beginning of my illness, where I was at the men's retreat, very, very sick. And Pastor Jim Hesterly, who operates in this gift, I've seen this gift work in him more than I've seen it in any other man that I know. And I said, ah, I'm going down. I'm going to have Jim pray for me. And Jim prayed for me, and I did not get better. Why? Because, you see, it's a gift that God gives at a given moment for a specific purpose. God had other things in store for me, like the hospital and, you know, a weight loss program that I don't recommend. So God had other things in store for me. But I have also seen Jim just have that gift of faith to where he walks up to somebody and says, I'm going to pray for you, and bang, they get healed. And maybe you've experienced that. But you see, what takes place with that miracle is suddenly God just gives you this amazing faith to go up and do something that you would normally never do, that you would normally not operate that way. Chuck tells a story about, in the book, it's quite humorous that these kids bring their grandpa up in a wheelchair and they wheel him up to the front. Would you pray for our grandpa? And Chuck begins to pray for him and lays his hands on him. And suddenly after he gets done praying for him, he grabs him by the hand and he says, now I say to you in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And the man stands up. And he starts walking around, and everybody's going crazy, and the kids are just going nuts, and Grandpa's saying, "This is awesome." And the kids say, "Wow, that's radical. Grandpa had a cold. We just wanted you to pray for his cold." But see, God gave Chuck this gift of faith that at that given moment that he would be able to exercise that. We see that take place on many other opportunities where we see that gift in the works with Jesus' ministry. And so it is God just, by the Spirit, just giving you a confidence that God's going to do something. He's going to do something radical in that specific instance. And it's faith that is planted there by God for that moment. And so that is a gift of faith. And so it's given for by God's sovereign grace, and it's something that is for him. And the sad part about this is that most of the time, if someone has ever actually, you know, experienced this, usually what they want to do is draw attention to themselves. And so you will see the Benny Hinn healing ministry. And who is all of the attention on? It is on Benny. And really and truly, the miracles that Jesus did after he does something like that, where suddenly he's just given this gift of faith and he grabs someone and there's this miracle that takes place and he heals somebody, they glorify God. Even as Peter, when they were walking through the beautiful gate and the man was asking for money, and he says, "You know, silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give to you." We say, "Rise and walk." You see, they glorified God. It didn't say that Peter started a healing ministry and started going around Israel and it was the Peter and John healing duo. It doesn't point to the people that exercise the gift. You want to know why I believe that that is true? Because let them truly, without trickery, as many of these operate in, let it take place, and then you think that you own it, and you try to do that with mustered up faith by saying, "Okay, I've got the formula. What did I say the last time? I said it this way." If you look at the way Jesus did it, the miracles, all of them were done differently every time. One day he said, makes some dirt, wads it up, puts it in a guy's eye. So, oh, that's it. Okay, now I got to figure it out. We spit in the dirt and we make muds, and that's how it all takes place. But Jesus didn't do it the same way any time. Why? Because he knows we're formula makers. We try to make the same formula, do it every time. So the gift of faith doesn't mean that we're going to live lives, you know, without difficulties, but it does bring us hope for the future, something that those without faith do not have. And so it excludes boasting because it proves that we haven't earned it. God is doing it. It's a miracle that God does. And he gives us the supernatural faith. So, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, a supernatural gift of God that says, "I know something's going to happen right now." And it comes to you in a moment. Sadly enough, oftentimes, we may miss those moments because we wrestle with that in our own logical minds. Say, how can this be? You know, what if I grab the guy and pull him out of his chair and he flops down on the ground and we go through this mental gymnastics and we miss the opportunities? I would rather take the chance than miss the opportunity. So, two other gifts. Two of the other gifts that are gifts of the Spirit, and we see those working within the church, and man, when they're working within the church, I believe that it is very, very healthy. I believe that it's an awesome thing. And maybe some of you are beginning to see that these various gifts that God is giving to you, he's placing things on your heart, because somehow when we become sensitive to this stuff, when we become sensitive to his Holy Spirit, he likes to use you to do other things. It was awesome that, you know, I've talked to some of you that suddenly you're being sensitive to what God's telling you to do, and then you're doing it. That's awesome to me. So, the gifts of the Spirit, the amazing working of the Holy Spirit, what a beautiful gift. Let's pray, gang. Lord, we thank you for this time in your word. And I pray, Jesus, that as you desire to give us words of wisdom, words of knowledge, Lord, you desire to give us that supernatural gift of faith. Lord, each of us have received a gift. Each of us have been given a measure of faith. Each of us have been given something from you. And in any given instant, you are prepared to give us the tool that we need for the job that we are doing. And tonight, Lord, I believe that there are some here that may just need a word of knowledge from you. Maybe to reveal to them that so that they would know that you're real, that you love them, you care for them. Whether it's directional or whether you need to expose something. Lord, I believe that you want to speak to us tonight, even more than you have through the teaching of the Word, that you want to use your people. And you're prepared to empower us tonight. So Jesus, we commit this time to you. May you give us ears that hear you, hearts that understand you. Make us sensitive, Lord.